Translation. My dear Lord, I have invited all the sannyasis of Banaras to my home. My desires will be fulfilled if you accept my invitation. In response, please. My dear Lord, I have invited all the sannyasis of Banaras to my home. My desires will be fulfilled if you also accept my invitation. Purport by His Divine Grace, S.E. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. This Brahmin knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the only Vaishnava sannyasi in Banaras. At that time, and all the others were Mayavadis. It is the duty of a Grihastha to sometimes invite sannyasis to take food at his home. This Grihastha Brahman wanted to invite all the sannyasis to his house, but he also knew that it would be very difficult to induce Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept such an invitation because the Mayavadi sannyasis would be present. Therefore, he fell down at his feet and fervently appealed to the Lord to be compassionate and grant his request. Thus he humbly submitted his desire. Homiganti mirandasya gyanantina shalakaya chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam tadati svabhadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatham mitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam radha krishna padam sahagana lalita shri vishakam vitamscha he krishna karuna sindhu dina bando jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute tapta kanchana gorangi vrindavanishvari rishavanu sute devi pranamami hari priye panchakalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam vaisnavebhyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Adana, Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is a story of how Lord Chaitanya converted the Mayavadi sannyasis to become Vaishnavas. So this is a very nice story of how the Lord's humility was very implementary in converting the Mayavadi sannyasis. So I think, I wasn't here yesterday, but somebody was telling me that the class yesterday was about humility. And so this is a very important quality. So the Brahmin is approaching Lord Chaitanya and is using proper Vaishnava etiquette. Well, we just recap on the story up to this point. Tapanamishra and Chandrasekhar, they are disturbed by the Mayavadi sannyasis. They are criticizing Lord Chaitanya because he's just chanting and dancing like a sentimentalist. And their understanding is that when one wants to achieve perfection, then he engages in Vedanta philosophy. And so Chandrasekhar and Tapanamisra are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as being Kanishtha Adhikaris. We should understand actually that all Lord Chaitanya's associates are advanced souls, but for the purpose of their pastime, they're described as being Kanishtha Adhikaris. And so they cannot relate to this. They cannot deal with it that the Lord's been criticized, and so therefore they want the Lord to defeat the Mayavadi sannyasis. So they petitioned the Lord, and so the Lord didn't want to do anything at first, and he just went to Vrindavan and did his duty there. Then when he came back, they petitioned again. And so by the Lord's arrangement, this Brahman arranged a meeting of the Mayavadi sannyas at his home. And simultaneously he wanted Lord Chaitanya to appear there. Ordinarily, the Lord wouldn't deal with Mayavadi sannyasis. But the Brahman was so devoted to, and so humble in his petition, that the Lord fulfilled his desire and he decided to meet with them. So this is Vaishnava etiquette, that when we have proper Vaishnava etiquette, then everything is possible. When Lord Chaitanya, Lord Balaram, he didn't take part in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Instead, he went on pilgrimage. And he eventually came to the sages at Naimasharanya, who were about to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Romaharshana Sutta. And of course, we all know the story that when Balaram entered that arena, all the sages stood up and offered their respects to Lord Balaram. But Romaharshana Sutta, he remained on the Vyasasan. So the whole purpose of being on the Vyasasan is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ordinarily, one wouldn't get up when we are glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not required, even if a personality walks in. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead walked in. And so Balaram should, Ramaharshana should have paid respects. But he failed to do so, and Balaram remembered the background of Romaharshana Sutta. Being a Sutta, it's equivalent to a Shudra. And what does Bhagavad Gita say about Shudras? It says they very quickly become proud. If he gets opulence or anything, then he can't handle it, and it brings pride. So remembering this, he decided to teach Romaharshana Sutta a lesson. And he touched him with a blade of kusha grass, and he immediately fell over dead. And so the sages were in uproar. They said, "Oh, we've just given him a long duration of life. What to do?" And Balaram was very apologetic, actually. He said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You decide. You can't go back on your... You've killed him, so you can't bring him back to life. But we've promised to give him a long duration of life also." So Lord Balaram, being the Supreme Lord, was very intelligent. And he said that, "I will put his son..." Suta Goswami, he can take his place. The son is none different from the father. In this way, he remains to speak through his son. And also, in the same way, is that the sage's curse is not, or the sage's benediction has not been stopped. But one thing he said at that point, which is very much in line with what we're talking about here, is that the reason he did that with the grass is that he couldn't... he said he's got so much learning, he was far more learned than anybody in the assembly. He said, but he didn't become gentle. So this is the result of knowledge, is it makes one gentle. Makes one realize one's position, and then one naturally becomes humble. And so this is the situation with this Brahman. He's speaking to Lord Chaitanya, and he's petitioning him in the right way. And when we do that, then everything becomes very nice. Because this community is built on Vaishnava etiquette. We may achieve so many things, I think we're achieving so many things. But if we cannot, just like Ramaharshana Sutta, if we cannot relate to one another in a proper Vaishnava way, then this is not really acceptable. Things won't go on. It'll just become very much materialistic. Prabhupada once said on he was on a plane journey from Kenya to South Africa, and on the plane there were many rugby supporters. They were going back to South Africa, and they'd just been to Kenya to watch a match between these two countries, and they'd won. And so, as usual, they'd got the bottle out, and they were drinking, and they were smoking, and they were making a lot of noise. And just in front of these bunch of rugby supporters was Prabhupada and his servant. And the servant was thinking, these rugby supporters, they're really disturbing Srila Prabhupada. So he got up and he went to see the air hostess. He said, can you tell this lot to be quiet? It's disturbing my spiritual master. And so the air hostess went back and spoke to them. And they all sat down again and everything went quiet for a few minutes. And then it built up again and they were all making a din. And so the servant was really frustrated and he was just about to get up again. And Prabhupada said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to tell the air hostess to quiet these lot again. And Prabhupada said, what's the difference between them and us if we can't actually tolerate? So in Bhagavad Gita, so this is one of the items of knowledge actually to tolerate. I was going to go through these, I've got it in the wrong order. But anyway, the first item is amanitvam, it's humility. And the next one, adambitvam. Humility means... Prabhupada was once in Paris and he was giving an open class to the students, and at that time they were very antagonistic, they were very much left wing, and they didn't like authority. This is left wing, no authority, and so communists, and so they were, Prabhupada was talking about the Varnashram system, about the tiers of authority. And so they, at the end of the class, or during the class, they spoke up. So you were speaking about authority, about different classes of people. And he said, what class are you? Because Prabhupada was sat on the high seat and they were all sat down. He said, are you first class man? Because it sounded like he was first class man from what he was saying. And they didn't like that. And Prabhupada said, no, I'm fifth class man. I'm servant of the other four. And actually, Prabhupada meant it. It wasn't anything which was put on. So Prabhupada showed that humility in many cases. And pridelessness. Where does pridelessness come in? We're talking about the Vaishnav etiquette. This Brahmin is showing Vaishnav etiquette. And it's getting the required result. So pridelessness... is described in Bhagavad Gita that one shouldn't be wanting some position. Everybody in the material world is striving to get some position. And even in spiritual organizations, even unconsciously, we may be striving for some position, some recognition. So even we may seem humble, but when that desire is in the heart, then at some point it comes out and also causes... differences between devotees. Next one is amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa. Automatically, if we become humble, then we don't want to hurt any living entity. We respect all life. Just like Prabhupada, when he was, I think it was in Vrindavan. Yeah, in Vrindavan. I think it was Shruti Kirti walked into the room. And Prabhupada was looking very intently at the ground, and Shruti Kirti was looking where he was, and he couldn't see anything. And he said, what are you looking at, Prabhupada? He said, don't you see? And he looked again, and he saw this little bug. Was it a bug, or was it... he says, this is this bug, I've been watching it for a good 5 minutes, and it's very hungry. He says, please give it some prasadam. And so, you know, a devotee's got that quality. He's always looking out for the welfare of all others. Ahimsa, non-violence. So that's natural in a devotee. Then Ahimsa, what's after Shanti, tolerance, we've just done tolerance. How Prabhupada said, if we're not tolerant, we can't make any advancement. Another story where Prabhupada was, I think, I think I mentioned this story before, how the German devotees came from when Prabhupada was giving darshan at Bhaktivedanta Manor. When they came in, they'd be doing a lot of book distribution, so they were thinking Prabhupada would be very pleased with them. And so they came in a little late, and all the devotees were listening to Prabhupada, and they all paid the dandavats. And as they were getting up, even before they got up, Prabhupada said, "So, what is the first instruction of the Bhagavad Gita?" And they fumbled out some replies, and Prabhupada said, "No, you're distributing my books, but you're not reading them." So tolerance. And Bhagavad Gita tells us that if we tolerate, then the path to spiritual advancement becomes very, very clear. So Ahimsa Shantir Arjavam. And this is a very important one also, Arjavam. This means simplicity. Simplicity is likened to straightforwardness. What else can we term as simplicity? Innocence. Any more? Innocence is there, yeah. Hey? Not a diplomat. Prabhupada was speaking to one devotee. He says, "The trouble with you is, you all diplomats, you want to be like Hiranyakashipu." Because a diplomat means, so I have some agenda. I have something to protect, something to hide. He says, but a devotee, Prabhupada quotes that a devotee should have six exchanges. These six exchanges should be giving, receiving gifts, giving prasadam, serving prasadam, accepting prasadam, and revealing one's mind and giving guidance and confidence. And Prabhupada made an interesting point. He said, one should be so open that he can reveal his mind even to an enemy. And when and in the association of devotees, everybody should know everything about the other. There's nothing to hide. Well, of course, we have to be careful. We only reveal our minds to who we can trust. So a devotee has to be intelligent also. But actually, everybody should be on the same wavelength as far as simplicity goes. Because without simplicity, we can't really go forward. By humility, we can actually accept our position where we are, and then we can be simple. If we don't have humility, then we put ourselves on a platform which is not where we actually are. And then it becomes very difficult to become simple. Prabhupada mentioned quite a bit about simplicity, actually. He said our movement is going forward by this simplicity, by straightforwardness, by cooperation of devotees. He said if we don't cooperate, then everything's stopped. Integrity also. Simplicity. To be integrity. What does integrity mean? Modesty. Honesty. Yeah, what we actually know to be true, we actually do, or we speak. We don't actually, we've got no duplicity. What's on the inside is on the outside. That's another way of putting it. So integrity. A devotee is known for his integrity. So Prabhupada said, when the high court judge is wearing tea-like, then we know we're actually successful. A judge has to have integrity. He cannot afford not to have integrity. He said people will, in the past, in the villages of India, if the villagers had a big argument, they would take it to a Brahmin or a Vaishnav to settle, and they would accept his judgment. Why? Because he has honesty and integrity. So if we want to please the Lord, just like this Brahman, then we also have to develop these qualities. Because these first qualities we've mentioned, what's the next quality in Bhagavad Gita? After simplicity. Acharya Upasanam. That means then we become qualified to take shelter of a spiritual master. These are like the prerequisites that we have to imbibe, because then we can listen and we can follow. And then all the other qualities are developed due to the association of the spiritual master. What's the first thing the spiritual master works on? He actually helps us with our humility, the false ego. What's that? Acharya Upasanam Shocham. Steram Atman in Vinigraha. We become fixed in devotional service. We start to develop knowledge of the self. We start to become freed from false ego. Anyway, many, many qualities are going on. But eventually we come to the point of Bhakti Yoga in a Sevati, pure devotional service. Since all the other qualities are subservient to this one. But we have to put these in place before we can go forward. This is the point. Oh, that's what Prabhupada mentioned, actually. Love and trust. This humility and simplicity means there's love and trust. This trust is very important in devotees. If we're duplicious, somebody is not straightforward with us, then it's really bad for a devotee, isn't it? Because there's not so many devotees. And if we can't trust in the association of devotees, where can we go? It becomes a very difficult situation. This is the relationship which will keep a devotee in devotional service. Even though there may be so many problems, if he has somebody he can actually take shelter of, who he can trust and feels cared for, then he can maintain his devotional service in all situations. Anyway, the next point here is that what about this diplomacy? Can it be used in Krishna's service?
Only if it brings two devotees together.
If it brings two devotees together. Maybe when we can say when the result is good. Is that actually diplomacy? But it didn't work. No, I mean, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's three instances that come to mind. Like, one is Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy, he was asked by Maharaj Pratiparudra. Well, all the devotees were trying to petition that Maharaj Pratiparudra was a great devotee and he should get the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when they asked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he eventually said, you know, if you keep petitioning me like this, I'll just go away and I won't come back. Because I don't mix with kings, they're pound shillings and pence men. And so everybody was trying to speak after that point. And so Ramananda Roy, he'd been in the service of a... He was a diplomat in his previous occupation. What was his title? Governor of Madras, that's right. And so he knew how to deal with people. And so one thing to try and deal with Lord Chaitanya in that way is not actually proper etiquette. And so he used to indirectly, always when he was in association of Lord Chaitanya, he was giving glorification of Maharaj Pratiparudra's qualities day after day after day. And then after some time, Lord Chaitanya was hearing this and his heart started to melt. But he didn't actually put the final question in at that point. Later on, when Lord Chaitanya was sufficiently amiable towards the character of the king, they made arrangements. They ushered Lord Chaitanya into the garden halfway through the Rath Yatra, and then they dressed Maharaj Pratiparudra in an ordinary dhoti and kirtan, not in king's clothes. Now that's duplicious. And they ushered him into the garden. And Maharaj Pratiparudra crept up on Lord Chaitanya while he was taking rest and he started to massage his feet. And then he started quoting the Gopi Gita. And then he came to the ninth verse and he started quoting about preaching. And Lord Chaitanya immediately stood up and he embraced Maharaj Pratiparudra. He got all his mercy. He didn't even know that who it was. So this was all the duplicity of the devotees. Well, look at the result. Any more? Sanatan Goswami. And another one is Raghunath Das Goswami. He was very duplicitous with the the Turkish ruler of that, the Muslim ruler of that part of the world. His father, Hiranya and Govardhan, his uncle, they'd been cheating the government. They'd been taking the taxes, they were tax collectors, giving some to the government and some in the pocket. And so this envious Muslim, he realized what was happening. He told the ruler. And so the ruler came and they scarpered, they got to know. And there was only Raghunath Das left. And so Raghunath Das, he was going to imprison him. And he was so expert, he started speaking in so sweet language to this Muslim ruler that eventually this ruler, he started crying. And he submitted, says, "What do you want me to do then?" And so Raghunath Das says, they have to pay the taxes. And Raghunath Das said, "Let them come back and we'll work something out." And so he arranged that they could gradually pay the taxes back. And so duplicity was there. He was very duplicitous with the ruler, but the result was good again. Then the Sanatan Goswami, what's the one about Sanatan Goswami? When he was in prison. Yeah, I mean, he bribed. This is not a Vaishnav, is it, to bribe? But look at the result. He got out of prison and he started preaching. He wrote many books, one of the Goswamis. So, but we should be very, very careful. We shouldn't use these examples in our own lives, only if we're very, very sure that he's actually from speaking to other devotees and double-checking it. Should I actually act in this way in this situation? Ordinarily, we're very, very straightforward. Prabhupada sometimes said that. Anyway. So, also there's the example of Maharaj Yudhisthira and Arjuna. During the battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira could see that Arjuna wasn't fighting to his full capacity. And so he accused Arjuna. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "You're supposed to be fighting the enemy. You can fight much harder than that." He says, "That Gandiva boy you've got, you might as well give it away." And that was the wrong thing to say. Arjuna was a kshatriya. He made a vow that anybody who tells me to give my Gandiva boy away, I'll kill them. And so he balked at first, but then he started to get his sword out. A kshatriya has to live according to his vow. And there was Lord Krishna also. And he said, "Stop. Before you decide to take any action, I want to tell you a story." And so he started telling the story of one sage who was known for never telling a lie. He never broke his word. He called him Koshikrata. I think everybody's heard this story. But he was in his hermitage one day, and some pilgrims came running by in a great haste, and he asked them what the problem was. He says, "There are some dacoits chasing us. We need shelter. Can you tell us where to hide?" He says, "Hide in this forest behind me. You'll be all right there." So they hid in the forest, and a few minutes later the dacoits came, and they asked this Koshikrata, "Where's these pilgrims gone? What are we looking for?" He said, "They went in the forest over there." And so they went in and they slaughtered all the pilgrims. So Arjuna, on hearing this, he immediately understood that he has to find another solution. That it's, you know, sometimes being true to one's word or straightforward is not actually beneficial. So a devotee has to be intelligent. And so, of course, Arjuna completely insulted Yudhisthira with words. And to a kshatriya, that's worse than death. But he simultaneously he maintained his life. So a devotee is not just a bookworm. He understands things by practice. He's realized knowledge. So two things here. Etiquette. In other words, etiquette can be broken for preaching. Is that right? What about Srila Prabhupada? If he'd have followed the etiquette, we wouldn't be here. Prabhupada, he went against all the etiquette. When he went back to India, he got a lot of criticism. Don't go, and sannyasi never goes over the water, Prabhupada, you'll die. What else was there? And the other examples are, he married his students, his disciples. Usually a sannyasi wouldn't partake in a marriage ceremony. He initiated people who were not really, by Vedic standards, qualified. Many, many things. But he didn't wear coat and pant, as Prabhupada said. Some things he reneged on. But he's intelligent, he's a acharya, he knows what to do and what not to do. So a devotee also has to be careful that we, before we do anything, we make sure from other devotees and from Shastra. Preaching. He also was prepared to... One devotee once walked into Prabhupada's room and he was sat at his desk, and it was a Mataji. He said, Prabhupada, I want to hang this picture just behind you above your head. He said, for preaching you can stand on my head. So that's not real, that's not proper etiquette, is it? But this was Prabhupada's mood. In fact, in many cases, some of his disciples did work which wasn't considered very... I'm not going to mention anything, but they got the result done, and Prabhupada was extremely pleased with them, although they were given criticism by other devotees. So, also, if the devotee is properly situated and he performs proper Vaishnava etiquette, then this also attracts Krishna. The example when Krishna was in Indraprastha, after the Maharaj Yudhisthira and all the Pandavas, I think it was Indraprastha, or was it Hastinapur? They went back there, and Maharaj Yudhisthira had Krishna's association. I think it was Hastinapur. He had Krishna's association for about 3 months, and it came time to leave. Krishna had to go back to Dwarka to do his other duties. And so Maharaj Yudhisthira beckoned Lord Krishna. He says, please stay a little longer. And so Lord Krishna, cancelled all his appointments and stayed for another month. And then he was just about to leave again, and Maharaj Yudhisthira said, please stay a little bit longer. And so Lord Krishna cancelled all his appointments and stayed for another month. And this went on for quite some time, until eventually Maharaj Yudhisthira thought, okay, we have to let Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna asked to go again, and Maharaj Yudhisthira reluctantly gave him permission. But it was the love of Maharaj Yudhisthira which was attracting Krishna. So by this proper Vaishnava etiquette, we can see that in the movement, so many things can get done. So many barriers can be brought down. If we don't have that love and trust amongst devotees, there's so many barriers put up. In the material world, there's not much love and trust. And what do they say about barriers in the material world? About fences. Good fences make good friends. But what does it mean? It means they can stay on their side and I'll stay on my side, and never the twain shall meet. It's that kind of friendship. That we don't rub one another up the wrong way. We don't get in one another's way. And so sometimes in devotional service, these fences cause the same problem. And that's due to a lack of openness, a lack of straightforwardness. So this quality of simplicity, which is Brahman using, is very, very important. Any other examples? Simplicity. I was thinking, What's that? Yeah. Yeah, it's so straightforward that he can reveal the truth even to an enemy. Yeah, Dronacharya knew that Drishtadyumna was born for the death of Drona. Now, would you do the same thing? somebody's born for the death of. Yeah, but Brahmins look very liberal. He'll give knowledge to everybody. He's not concerned with the result. Well, he is concerned with the result. A Brahmin's not stupid. Prabhupada said that when Lord Shiva gave a benediction. Who was it? That Vrikasura. He was cutting his flesh off. He wanted Lord Shiva to appear. He was so determined. And Lord Shiva says, no, he's not going to do that. Lord Shiva is very merciful. Don't cut your body into pieces. What do you want? And so Vrikasura, when he told him, he fainted almost. He gave me a benediction. I want the benediction. Anybody's head I touch, it will have burst into 1,000 pieces. What a benediction. And so anyway, then Vrikasura thought, what shall I try this on? So he looked at Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva had to run. And he was chasing Lord Shiva all over. And eventually Lord Shiva took shelter of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna said, don't worry, I'll see to this. Vrikasura came. He says, what's the matter? He says, I want to try this. I've been given a benediction by Lord Shiva. He said, Lord Shiva, you're not listening to him, are you? He's a madman. So take no notice. He said, no, he gave me a benediction. I went through great austerities to get this benediction. So what's the austerity? He says, what's the benediction? He says, I've got the benediction that anybody that I touch, it'll burst into 1,000 pieces. He says, ah, load of rubbish. He said, try it on your own head. And so we have to be careful. But of course, devotional service, this is the benediction that can benefit anybody. Even the devotee has to be careful in this regard. One who is a preacher is Madhya Madhikari. And although he'll give his love to the Supreme Lord, he'll reciprocate with divorce leads nicely, and he'll try and be merciful to the innocent, he won't try and preach to the atheistic or demoniac. Why? Is it being nasty to the demoniac and atheistic? It just increases the poison. When they hear about Lord Krishna, when they hear about the person that they don't want to, then they become more and more antagonistic. So that's not good. So a devotee is even merciful to those who are atheistic and antagonistic. He avoids them for their own benefit. Prabhupada was once, there was one devotee, he was causing a lot of rumpus in the temple, I think it was in Vrindavan. And so he was, and the devotees were complaining. But Prabhupada didn't approach this situation straight away. At some point, he didn't actually approach this person directly. But then this person was like to play the guitar. And somehow or other, he got talking to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada encouraged him to travel and preach with his guitar. And so he relieved the situation, at least for Vrindavan. So this is expert dealings by the bona fide acharya. Bona fide acharya can preach for time, place and circumstance. So we'll see in this particular pastime as it goes on how Lord Chaitanya agrees to the proposal of the Brahman. He meets with the Mayavadi sannyasis, and in an indirect way he gradually captivates them by his qualities, and they start to listen to him very intently, and therefore they become Vaishnavas also. So this is the importance of purity. Lord Chaitanya taught us how to preach to many different classes of people. This is just one class. He preached to Salva Bhauma Bhattacharya in the same way. How did he preach? He could defeat Salva Bhauma Bhattacharya immediately. But he saw what's the long-term result of this preaching? And therefore he acted to be the student of Salva Bhauma Bhattacharya. And sometimes that's necessary in order to preach. Very necessary in this day and age to take the lower position. And then eventually Salva Bhauma Bhattacharya listened to Lord Chaitanya. with Mukunda. He was a student. This is another class of persons we have to preach to. What did he do with Mukunda? Mukunda was listening to all different philosophies and agreeing with them all. Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He said, tell him I don't want to see his face around here anymore. And so when they told Mukunda, he was distraught. And they said to the Lord, surely you'll see him sometime. Tell us when you will see him. And so Lord Chaitanya said, okay, tell him I'll see him after 10,000 births. And Mukunda could hear in the next room and he started dancing in ecstasy. I will see, I will see. And Lord Chaitanya started to smile. He said, bring him here. And so what's the story is that, same as Prabhupada, he would, when he's preaching to the students, he wouldn't try to defeat them directly. He wouldn't argue on their terms, on their different philosophies. They have many different philosophies, like Mukunda was listening to. But an example is when Shyama Sundar started to debate with Prabhupada about the different philosophers, he wanted to write a book on the different philosophers in relationship to Krishna consciousness. And Shyama Sundar said, what about Socrates? What about Plato? What about this? He said, tell me his philosophy. What's his philosophy? And then he used to tell him the philosophy. And then Prabhupada used to defeat the philosophy with Krishna consciousness. So when we're preaching, it should be like that, that we deal with the Krishna conscious solution and not with the person. And what was the last one? Anybody else? There was four classes of people. There was Jagai and Madai. And so Lord Chaitanya said, in this case, when we're preaching to most people, they're Jagai and Madais. So how do we preach to Jagai and Madai? Mercy. He was going to chop Madai's head off. Was it Madai or Jagai? Madai. And Lord Chaitanya said, stop. If you kill Madai, you'll have to kill everybody. Everybody's in that frame of mind in this age. So we kill the demoniac spirit, not the person. In previous ages, the Lord used to kill the demons. Demons are just as powerful. Have you noticed? They're undercover, though, aren't they? If we see some of the things that are going off behind the scenes, it's unbelievable. But still, the devotee is very merciful. Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ. He suffered great turbulence just to preach Krishna consciousness. Titikshishva Karunika Suridhar Sarvadeham Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadava Sadabhushana. A devotee, what's the first thing? He's very tolerant. Karunika, then merciful. He's friendly to everybody. He doesn't accept any bad words. He doesn't let them affect him. And he sticks to the process of devotional service following all the angers. So this is the qualification for preaching. We have to become pure. What's the most important qualification for preaching? Lord Chaitanya did it in all these different instances, but it's not so obvious. A sadhu, he cut their ignorance. And so a devotee is always seeing how his activities will lead to other people becoming Krishna conscious. How his activities lead into that. Anyway, we can stop there. And this is what the Brahman was doing here. He was understanding that if Lord Chaitanya associates with these Mayavadi sannyasis, then it can only be for their good. He knew that it would be difficult. So he petitioned him very, very humbly. Please fulfill my request. And when there's one quality that the Supreme Lord is very attracted to, and that's humility. If we can actually just maintain that one quality, even though we may be failing in so many other words, then we can get Krishna's mercy. Sanatana Goswami showed this when he went to Jagannath Puri. He was so humble that he'd got sores all over his body from the journey. He'd drunk some bad water and he got oozing sores. And so Lord Chaitanya asked him to come for lunch. And to go for lunch, Sanatana Goswami had to go past the gates of the Jagannath temple. And he was thinking that, I'm not only an outcast, I wouldn't go past the gates anyway, but I'm also filthy due to this disease. So I won't go that way. I'll just contaminate any Brahmins who may be passing that way. And then they have to worship Lord Jagannath. And so he went on the beach path, which midday, Jagannath Puri, blistering heat. And when he reached Lord Chaitanya's association, Lord Chaitanya said, "Which way did you come?" And he told him, he said, "Why did you come on the beach way? Your feet are all blistered." He said, "If I had come the other way, I would have contaminated all the Brahmins." Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy. He says, "You're the emblem of Vaishnava etiquette." And he embraced him. And so this is something worth working for. In all situations, try to understand how to employ humility. So we'll stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions?